first lesson, they came.
Logic's bets in the cut, got the game on lock. Flipping dimes, calling shots, every move non-stop. 615, bullets, player, player odds like dice. In the trap house, betting lines, make your racks feel nice. Pushing the line, we don't fold, don't shy. Cashing tickets, counting green to the sky. On the podcast, we ball, roll the spread. Money talk, never walk, bets ahead. Parlay slayer, stacking chips like you bricks. Not just calling plays, mixing schemes so slick. Numbers on the board, all these digits don't lie. In this trap house, sports, best we fly. Pushing the line, we don't fold, don't shy. Cashing tickets, counting green to the sky. On the podcast, we ball, roll the spread. Money talk, never walk, bets ahead. Got your bankroll rising like the early morning sun. From parlays to straight plays, we stun. Twisted stats, breaking news, all for the gain. In this world of odds, we reign. Lines moving swift like the weight in the night. Heavy hitters in this game got the insight. Magic's with the tip, 615 with the hit. Podcast worldwide, see us never miss. Hey.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Pushing the Line Sports. Me, Magic Betts, and my guy, Mike B. Man, we had some football last night. Oh, he got to show off his hat. There you go.
We had a half of football. That's what we had.
Looked like it was going to start out to be a little wild with the Spitgate.
Dumb for both of them. Dumb because Dak, you $60 million man. You can't take that. You can't do that. $60 million man. You provoked it. Jalen Carter, you on track to be the highest paid, maybe, depending on what the Eagles decide to do with you. You was finna get a big ass payday. You still gonna get one. But character take you a long way. And then you give people the ammo to bring up what you did in your past to Georgia where you had the accident, you ran away. Don't give people ammo, silly. Just bring you too good for that.
They say he used to leave the scene.
You too good for that, man. You too good for that. We got the win. It was sloppy. AJ Brown got a lot of cardio.
A whole lot of cardio.
And it's funny, man. The reason people think we're going to lose a lot of games is the reason that we win a lot of games because of Jalen Hurts. I don't understand what he got to do. It's weird that people won't put him in the top five, but he beat everybody in the top five. He got an 8-1 record against all the quarterbacks that you would take over. Anyway, we got a game tonight.
Man, with that game last night, man, I really hate betting heavy on the first week of the NFL season because you everything changes so much. And I expected the Eagles to cover 7.5 points. They did not.
I wish you would have asked me.
I mean, it was the Cowgirls.
In division games, most of the time, it really don't even matter. I knew Dallas wasn't as bad as people think they are. Defensively, you can run all over them. Jalen Hurts and Saquon, they ran. But after that lightning delay, they came back. The run defense held its own. It was a close game. Really, if CeeDee Lamb catches those passes, they would have won the game.
Mm. Hey, man, speaking of CeeDee Lamb, man, I take back everything I said about his ranking in fantasy football. I want to apologize. I think he heard what I said on the show and had something to prove. But he's got to catch those balls. If he catches those balls, they have a chance to win that game.
I was reading a stat. I don't know how true this is, but since he came into the league, he leads the league in drops with 36, I believe. Ooh. I would have never thought that.
He need to train with Larry Fitzgerald.
And he's so good that we saying he had a bad game. He had 7 catches for 110 yards. That's how good he is. We can't put this one on Dak. Dak played a good game. Jalen Hurts played damn near a perfect game. Just didn't go the way that we wanted it to go. But we won and oh.
Yeah, and Javonte Williams actually had a pretty decent game. Surprised me.
He did, and he on everybody's bench right now.
Everybody, and I'm glad, because I think I faced him in one of my leagues. But anyway, we got some football in about an hour.
Two different kinds of football, college and the pros.
College won't amount for much tonight. I actually don't have none of those games on my list to discuss. But I do have the pros on there.
Let's get to it.
The Sao Paulo Showdown. Chiefs versus Chargers. NFL kicks off in Brazil with Mahomes versus Herbert under the lights.
I ain't got my live chat up. Let me see who in the live chat today.
Oh, you know what? I don't either. Let me see who
I
over
didn't.
There.
I didn't. Chris, A, Smeeze, Brandon, they all in here.
What's up, fellas? Hey, Chris, I agree. I agree. We're about to talk about that.
What's that?
His last little comment.
Oh, come on, Chargers.
The Chiefs favored by 3.5 points, and the public is all over Kansas City. They just, I mean, and understandably, because KC's won 7 straight over the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get it twisted. This ain't Arrowhead. It's a neutral site.
So I got a little tidbit. The Chiefs have beat the Chargers 7 straight times. I don't really think that's going to matter. The Chargers have been held over 20 points for the last 4 games. I think it's important to note that Omarion Hampton is starting over Najee Harris this game.
Yep.
I don't know for how long. Like you said, I think a lot of people – I'm going to play the other side of this. A lot of people think because the Chiefs got beat how they did in the Super Bowl, they're going to come out and they're just going to be dominant. The Eagles could have gave a blueprint on how to beat the Chiefs, and it may go the other way. We don't know what this Chiefs team going to look like. And your supposedly wide receiver one, Rashee Rice, he's missing these first 6 games. So I don't know what they're going to look like. From a betting standpoint, I would probably go with Kelce over Worthy. Or Reliable over the unknown. I just don't see Xavier Worthy as a high-volume type guy. So I would throw that in there. I think Pacheco, he may do it pretty good, but don't expect this to be no shootout in the first half like the Cowboys and the Eagles will. I'd be shocked.
I don't think it's gonna be a. I don't think it's gonna be a shootout at all. I think the total on this over under was 47.5. They might shoot under.
Yeah, I agree with that because they need to stop playing games in Brazil. As far as I know, they say the field is horrible over there.
The field is horrible. You can't go out and enjoy yourself because you'll mess around and get robbed or killed. Most people with the with an adult mindset, when they go over there for the game, it's to the stadium, to the hotel, nothing else.
Yep, that's what they told the Eagles, and the fans couldn't wear green or something.
Yeah, gang activity.
Chris, Omarion Hampton is starting over Najee Harris tonight. I don't know what that means. It could be a big role. It could be hell. He just take the first hand off on first down. They take him out, and Najee Harris comes straight in.
I think if he gets out and he starts hot, then they'll keep rolling with him. But they're going to mix Najee Harris in there.
Yeah. So something that I found out about this game, well, really about the coaches, they are 2-2 against each other. And Andy Reid never beat Jim Harbaugh when Harbaugh was a coach of the 49ers. But Jim Harbaugh has never beat Andy Reid while he was a coach at the Chiefs. Little fun fact for you, just in case y'all don't eat no Cracker Barrel, Cracker Jack, or drink no Snapple. I gave you a little fact there. But
yeah, throw Cracker Barrel in there, huh?
In my mind, whoever wins, I think the score gonna be like 23-17.
That's what I think it's going to be a 3-point game. I'm leaning more 23-20.
I wanted to say that, but you know, somebody might kick a late field goal. 23-17, you said 23-20. I like 23-20.
Yep. A couple of things I would look for if you're betting on this game. If Chiefs get up early, look for them to run Hunt and Pacheco to pound the clock down. Yep. If Herbert hangs in there, look for his passing yards to go over. I think, as a matter of fact, I did take his passing yards over 229. I caught that really? At minus 112. Yep. I mean, look, you got McConkey. You got McConkey. He's going to be all over the field. Yeah. You got Johnson as deep threat. As long as he don't drop his passes, we're good there. Then you got Keenan Allen back, and you got Will Disley. I mean, he's got options to get the ball.
The only reason I didn't is because I looked at his last two games. And his last two games against Kansas City, he didn't do too hot. Now, before that, I don't know what happened in these past 2 years. But those – let me see if I can pull it up right quick.
I mean, it ain't the same Kansas City either.
I know it. I don't know what kind of Kansas City is going to be. Now, for whatever reason, last season, he struggled against Kansas City. He had 179 yards passing in one game and 213 in the other. Now, before that, he was averaging almost over 270 yards a game. So I don't know what happened last season. I don't, like I said, like you said, it's week one. Who knows? I took him for over 200. That's what I took 200.
Another play I like on this game is Mahomes 1.5 passing touchdowns.
I took him for 2. So I guess that's pretty much the same.
Yep. And then Will Disley over 1.5 receptions. I took that at -145. It's a little juice in that, but I mean he's gonna get 2 to 3, so I went ahead and bet that one.
I took Pacheco to get over 60 yards rushing plus receiving. I think he can get
Peace that. Abraham.
All right, Abe.
Trey, I see Najee playing, but I don't see him getting a lot of snaps because he missed a lot of training camp.
Yeah. And as soon as they sing the national anthem and them fireworks go off, he may run into that medical team, be scared to death.
He might. He might.
He should never want to see or touch a firework again.
I also took the Chargers +3.5. If this game turns out to be a 23-20 game, I win my bet.
I just want the Chargers to win.
But there's a chance they might upset. They're a live dog.
I know how Kansas City always get the luck that they had last year. It's got to run out eventually. Has to. But they always get some kind of late penalty or some kind of bullshit. And that's why it's hard to go against them, man. I just don't know. So, I think I would be with you. I take the Chargers and the points.
And the main reason I say that is that they got some people on offense, but they got a top 5 defense.
Also, some keys to the game that I want to see. Look who Justin Herbert targets the most between Ladd and Keenan Allen. And I also want to see how he incorporates Quentin Johnston into the offense too. Quentin Johnston, people forget he was a first-round pick. I think he went to TCU, if I'm mistaken.
He did.
So he actually has 3 quality wide receivers. San Diego has a pretty good offense. If they can get Marion Hampton rolling, we could both be wrong. It could be some points scored. But we'll see.
I think Ladd to get bulk of the targets. I think if he gets under pressure, he's going to hit Disley. Johnson, he'll be the deep threat, and then Keenan Allen will be the safe secondary option.
The third and fourth guy.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a good game. So we had we also the bulk of the show is going to be about week two college football. It's nothing like last week. I can promise you that. It's really no big time games. We got one. We got number 15 Michigan versus number 18 Oklahoma. We got four games tonight, but like T said, you know, really, you're going to be watching the Chiefs Chargers anyway, so we ain't even finna go there. So the first game, that we're going to hit up, we're going to hit up the number 11 Illinois. They're going to take on Duke. These two teams, they haven't met since 1965. Both of them, they had some good wins last week. They really didn't play nobody, either one. I would look for Illinois to have that balance of efficient offense that they had with Luke Altmaier. And also, I think they may have a stingy run defense against this Duke team. And, you know, I look for Luke Altmaier, and I look for Hank Beatty to continue their dominance. It's what should be a high-scoring game this week. Also, Duke and that quarterback, Darian Mensah, he went nuts last week. He had 389 yards and three touchdowns. Also, little-known fact, Duke has one of the strongest home field advantages in the country. And I look for this game to be explosive, man. I'm not going to say they're going to upset Illinois, but it wouldn't shock me if they kept it close.
Well, Illinois' defense is built to travel. This is a road game. They're physical in the trenches. They can limit the explosive plays, which Mensah, I like Mensah. He came from Tulane, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Came from Tulane in the transfer portal. Duke had him looking good last week.
Duke looked good last week.
389 yards, three touchdowns. Yeah. But I think Illinois is going to contain him a little bit. He's not going to have those same plays. I think Illinois covers -3.
You think that the home field, the crowd at Duke, will have any kind of influence on Illinois while they're running their offense?
I wouldn't say enough to affect the outcome of the game, but enough to keep it close.
I like that. I like Illinois as well. I would take Illinois. It's 3 points, you said?
I took Illinois -3.
I would take that, most definitely. I could see it being 35.
Actually, I think the line has moved to -2 now. I mean, -2.5.
I still take Illinois and whatever they got.
Yeah, it's -2.5 now.
I think Illinois. I think 34-31 Illinois.
I ain't predicting no score.
All right. The next one. We got Iowa, the Hawkeyes, versus number 16, Iowa State Cyclones, the battle for the Cy-Hawk Trophy. Iowa leans heavily on the run game with 310 yards rushing last game, but as usual, they passing game struggled last game against Albany. Mark Gronowski, is that how you say that, I believe?
Don't give me the line.
44 yards total against the Albany Great Danes. Iowa, they are missing a few key players on offense, so that may also play a big role in this game. The game is in Ames. Iowa State is the home team. They're looking to rely on the aerial attack. They look to go 3-0. Rocco Beck is playing at a high level. Fun fact about this game, Iowa State has not won a game at home against Iowa since 2011. Also, if you're a betting person, this game has hit the under 17 of the last 20 times it's been played.
Hey, man, stop taking my talking points.
Is that what you was talking about before the show?
No. That wasn't even it. But I was. That's one of my talking points. Because every year, this matchup is hyped up like it's going to be a shootout. But history keeps cashing on the unders. I mean, five of the last six meetings didn't even get over 40 points.
Yep.
And it's the books opened up at 42.5. I took that 42. I took under 42.
I was just going to run the ball. That's pretty much what they're going to do. If you only throw for 44 yards against Albany, I don't think you're going to do too much against the number 16th ranked team in the country.
And they always have a good defense that's going to hold people back. But like you said, Rocco Becht is pretty good. He lost most of his weapons to the NFL draft, but they still got some people around.
Mm-hmm. You taking Iowa State?
I'm not taking no spread or no money line on it. I'm taking straight under 42.
Damn, 42, that's it?
Yeah.
That should let y'all know something right there. The last time they had a high scoring game, it was a pretty good damn game. It was 44-41. And I believe Iowa won that game.
I don't remember which game it was last year, but one of the Iowa games, the under was one of the lowest unders you'd seen in a long time. I think it was 28 points. It opened up at like 28.
Iowa is one of the most boring teams you can watch on Saturday.
You're right.
Absolutely. I don't even watch them now. The San Antonio Spurs of college football. I can't do it. Anyway, y'all, moving on, huh?
Now that I got you on live and you can't sit here and pick my brain about which game the tidbit I had in my head was, it's this next one.
Oklahoma State and Oregon?
Yeah.
Let me see. I know I ain't got it, but. All right, so we're going on. Oklahoma State versus the number six seed, the number six ranked Oregon Ducks. This is going to be a huge challenge for new coordinators Doug Meacham and Todd Grantham. They bring a pretty much rebuilt offense and defense against the Ducks, and it's going to take pretty much a perfect game to win, and I don't even know if that'll be enough. Zane Flores had to be precise and protect the Cowboys to stay in this game. Has to have a great game, probably the game of his life. The Ducks, you know, they're a huge favorite. They had a perfectly balanced game last week. They had 253 yards passing and 253 yards rushing. And it's a little bit of angst going into this game. Coach Mike Gundy called out Oregon and his $40 million roster against his $7 million roster at Oklahoma State. So,
man, Mike Gundy is he's kind of where Dabo Swinney was a couple of years ago. He's behind the gun, and he's not doing what he needs to do as far as getting people in with the NIL or getting the boosters to pay these kids. He's a little bit too old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm. I tell you another thing we haven't touched on this either, T. I meant to ask you about it. The NCAA ruled on something with the portal. They changing how you go in the portal.
They instead of having two open windows, they're going back to one.
Okay. So I don't know if you know anything about it. I didn't know how to explain it. I just seen where they changed the ruling on it.
Yeah, they voted on it yesterday. I didn't dig deep into it, but from my understanding, instead of having two open windows, they're going back to one. So that should calm things down a little bit, but
that's pretty big news, though.
It is.
Yeah, that's pretty big news, though. So without saying, you taking Oregon?
Man, look, Oregon's offense at home is built to run it up. They put up 500-plus yards in week one without even breaking a sweat.
Yeah. And that's how Oregon play.
Yeah. The Ducks ground game versus OSU soft rush defense screams chunk plays and quick scoring drives. I'm taking the over on this one.
What's the over? Where was the over? It's got to be 50.
Well, it's 57.5 now. I called it 56.5.
Oregon might score 50 than 56.
I'm thinking it's going to be about 50-14, 50-something to 14. They're gonna run it up.
All right. Supposed game of the week. We got number 15, Michigan, the Wolverines, going against number 18, the Oklahoma Sooners. This is their first meeting since the 1976 Orange Bowl. We got a first-year offensive coordinator in Chip Lindsey, and we got a freshman quarterback in Bryce Underwood, and they're going to look to take their ass in Norman and come out of there with a victory against these Sooners, man. They running back Justice Haynes. He rushed for a team debut last week, 150 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's saying something when you think about the Michigan running backs that they've had. That's saying a lot. The Sooners coming to this game, man, it was a lot of controversy around their quarterback, John Mateer, about gambling, but he had a very solid beginning to the season. Oklahoma has a fairly aggressive defense. They'll try to contain Bryce Underwood, as will Michigan try to contain John Mateer. So that'll be an interesting matchup. And it's going to be interesting because I want to see how Wink Martindale, you know, he used to be the Ravens defensive coordinator. I want to see how he contains John Mateer in that Oklahoma offense.
I'm interested to see how Bryce Underwood handles himself in a real matchup.
Yeah.
And like you said, Haynes had a good game. See how he handles himself in the matchup. Where did Haynes come from? I can't remember right off, but they picked him. Alabama. He came from Alabama. They picked him up in the transfer portal.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Not to get off subject, but what was your tidbit? Did you say it?
Oh, no. Oklahoma State and Oregon?
Yeah.
The only matchup I could find from them was in 2008. That's the only time I saw that they had ever played each other.
Oh, okay. That is something that I should have caught. Yeah. My bad, Michigan and Oklahoma.
Yeah, you be finding all the damn tidbits, but you ain't find that one.
So let me ask you this. Are you taking spread, you taking money line, or are you taking over-under for this game?
It's going to be tough.
As much as it's not that big of a game, it actually may end up being a pretty damn good game.
I actually did not put any notes in for that game, so I don't even remember what I bet, but I think I took
Oklahoma.
I think I took Oklahoma. I'm about to tell you.
I wanted to see what Bryce Underwood – I didn't watch him last week. I didn't watch him or John Mateer. I was watching the other games last week.
I took Oklahoma minus 3.5. Did you know John Mateer was on the same Washington State team as Cam Ward?
I did not know that.
I found out today.
See? Now you the one.
Hey, man, you know, every now and then you find something. Yeah, I think this being a home game for Oklahoma gives them the advantage in this. It'll be a pretty close game, but I think they cover 3.5.
In Norman. Those fans can get a little rowdy up there in Norman. So our last game is the hometown team, and it's not UT. It's the Vanderbilt Commodores against the Virginia Tech Hokies. The man of the hour in Vanderbilt, Diego Pavia, along with Cedric Alexander, Trey Richardson, and Eli Stores lead this potent offense into a hostile Blacksburg, Virginia environment at night. You know how loud Virginia Tech is, the stadium is at night. It's going to be a tough one. And it's usually one of the loudest stadiums in college football at night. It's up there with Penn State and LSU. And some of the others. Coming off a bad loss against South Carolina, Virginia Tech, and quarterback Kyron Drones, they got to look better than what they did last week. He didn't have no touchdown passes through 2 interceptions. And it's also reported that after that loss, they had a players-only meeting. They held each other accountable, and they are looking forward to a better start to the season. So that'll be interesting. These two teams played last season with Vanderbilt winning the game in overtime.
Man, I think college football just isn't as fun when Virginia Tech is not that good. And you could blame that on Frank Beamer when he had that Beamer ball. Anytime you played Virginia Tech, you were worried whether they were the underdog or the favorites. You had to worry.
Yep.
I think it will be a close game, similar to what it was last year. But I think Vanderbilt plus 2.5 is a good bet. Diego Pavia, he's confident, almost to the point where it's almost cocky. But at the same time, everything he's been talking, he's been delivering.
It's a little weird that we actually talking about Vanderbilt as a legit college football team.
Hey, man. Clark Lee.
Sign of the time.
Clark Lee was a great hire for them, in my opinion.
I'm with it. I like it. I like it. It puts some intrigue when they play UT.
And I think a lot of the direction that they're heading into has to do with the athletic director also, Candace Story Lee.
See, you in the island. I ain't.
Hey, man.
I ain't that. You a SEC aficionado. I ain't got that far in life.
I mean, they're the local team. You got to kind of keep up with them. But Candace Story Lee, when she took over from Malcolm Turner, she's been in the athletics department at Vanderbilt for years. And she's always worked under people. And a lot of the things that they did when they were good, she had a hand in, but they did not give her the opportunity because they wanted to make a splash, hired AD and hired Malcolm Turner. But as soon as they put him out the door and she took over, things started to trend up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That story, too.
Hey, man.
His brothers got arrested or something, I seen. The Pavia brothers.
Yeah,
I didn't get to read that much into it, but I seen they got arrested for something. Diego had anything to do with it.
He had nothing to do with it. They got a little too rowdy. From my understanding, them boys like to party.
Yeah.
They were out on an all night bender. They've came to practices before, still drunk from the night before.
Yeah, they tripping. So, man, that's a wrap-up of the Week 2 college football game. We ain't holding y'all long. It's Friday night football, 38. We 33 minutes in.
Yeah, college football is already starting. Shit, James Madison done already scored, 7-0.
That's a damn shame. Just a couple of little news pieces before we get out of here. The Chicago Sky, they suspended Angel Reese for conduct detrimental to the team. She came out and she kind of threw her teammates under the bus. She was frustrated. I'm not going to be like everybody else in the world. I'm not going to jump on her and say she suck and all. I'm not going to do that. I ain't going to do that. She made a mistake. She's young. She wants to win. They got one of the worst teams in WNBA. That's a fact. She had just won a championship at LSU. Regardless of what people think about her, she's a hell of a player. She got a lot to learn. She got a lot to work on. But she is a double-double machine. You don't make all-stars, and you don't break the NBA records if you ain't no good. She'll learn from it. Mistake made. Another thing, her so-called rival, as the world has put her, Caitlin Clark, announced on her Twitter today, or yesterday, that she's out for the rest of the season. That sucks for the WNBA. Sucks for their ratings. It sucks for the fans because you want to see the best players on the best teams. You want to see them go at it. So hopefully she gets healthy, man. I want to see Caitlin Clark come back next season and be her normal self. I was waiting to see that Caitlin Clark Paige Peckers game. I couldn't wait, but I ain't gonna get to see it.
And also, Amari Cooper retired.
Amari Cooper unretired for 45 minutes, and then he retired in less than an hour. Amari Cooper had a hell of a career, man.
He did.
He ain't no Hall of Fame or nothing, but he had a hell of a career.
Past couple of years, he hadn't been the same player. And then a lot of players don't even like playing for Chip Kelly, so you think that might have something to do with it?
Shit, it might. You know, as long as I'm an Eagle fan, I'll forever not like Chip Kelly. What else we got, T? The Eagles, they signed Za'Darius Smith today. We need to sign a corner and get Adoree Jackson ass off the field. I wonder why they didn't play Ja'Cory and Bennett more.
Probably learn the defense.
Okay, familiar.
And I think he was just a depth signing anyway. Well, a trade. Because if the Raiders are letting you go for a little bit of nothing, you're probably gonna get cut anyway.
I can see that.
But
what else we got?
Your team always like to sign these people that didn't quite make it somewhere and make something out of them. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see, man. If y'all haven't been keeping up with the WNBA, the Las Vegas Aces are kicking ass and taking names right now. They are on a 13-game winning streak. And last night they played the Minnesota Lynx, and they whooped them. That's something that they went all the way from the 7 seed to the 2 seed in about 2 weeks. They are on fire. I guess Asia Wilson got pissed off. Jewel Lloyd figured out her role coming off the bench. They've been whooping ass and taking names. So that's something interesting to keep your eyes on. And last but not least, because I don't want to wait till the Sunday show because it's going to piss me off, Christian McCaffrey did not practice today. What did we tell him in the top 10 rankings, team?
Beware. As a matter of fact, I drafted Brian Robinson Jr.
I did, too. I did, too.
That might be a steal.
Something is wrong with his calf. And I always tell people to be mindful when you have a calf injury, it makes you susceptible to tearing your Achilles. He did not practice today. Usually, if you don't practice on Friday, you ain't playing on Sunday.
They say it's nothing to be concerned about, though. So they might just be letting him rest.
We'll see what happened on Sunday.
Oh, tonight's game. Put this bet in real quick. Ladd McConkey anytime touchdown, and Xavier Worthy anytime touchdown. Parlay it.
You heard it there first. You got anything else?
Man, nothing other fact that I love y'all. Glad y'all show up, show out. Join us. We'll have another show before NFL kickoff on Sunday. We'll be at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. We'll go over every matchup that's left on the slate. We'll even recap tonight's game. Give you a few bets. I'm hungry. My pocket's empty.
I know that's a damn lie. You got all the cream cheese in the world on that side of town.
What do you go with that?
Anyway, y'all, we appreciate y'all. Hopefully some of these college football games that come out to be classic, great games this weekend. The slate don't look that good, but we're going to make the best of it because we got football back.
I'm about to sit here and watch this Louisville James Madison. It's starting to look like it's going to be a game.
There you go. So we're going to get y'all up out of here, man. 40-minute show. We'll see y'all Sunday at 11 o'clock. We're going to do the pregame. We ain't going to go into detail. Going to be some start, sit, some betting advice. And we're going to get y'all out of here, man. It's week one.
Appreciate you. Love y'all. See y'all soon.
got your bankroll rising like the early morning sun.